Hi, Nas.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. I'm going to go on mute.
He hasn't come on.
Okay. I'm going to go mute. I'm trying to get me something to eat.
Okay, well, Amy's on mute too. And I don't like being the only one to participate, so. If y'all are going to always mute, then I just call him every day and talk to him by myself.
Well, no, I'll come back on when he comes on, but I'll unmute just in the middle of fixing. I just got home, so I'm trying to get me something to eat.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm sorry I'm late.
It's okay.
Good evening.
Good evening. Okay, we're in section 57, correct?
Right.
Hashem Yitzchak Shabri Fuish Kintay Bidhilu Urchimu Uchilu Udhilu Urchimu Liakta Lashem Yudhe Bavavhe Biyehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayhimo Amadunai Elohinu Alein Maaseh Yadenu Kananei Alein Maaseh Yadenu Kananei Shalim. Pasuk 294. Tachatzel makiti beho vayit natzlu b'nei Yisrael et edyam mehar horev teit aved avar minai hu inun nezanan teit chagaru Bechon betura besinai begin dila ishlot beho ahu hivya bisha kewan deitavar minai hu maketi umoshe ikach et haohel benata lo michutz lamachane Arghek min hamachaneh. Come and see. It is written of Israel, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb. They were stripped of the ornaments that they received at Mount Sinai. The ornaments intended to prevent the wicked serpent from controlling them. When their ornaments were taken away, it is written, and Moses took the tent and pitched it outside the camp, afar from the camp. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think it's interesting that it tells us in two ways, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of the ornaments, and then it says they were stripped of the ornaments that they received. I think if it had just been they were stripped of the ornaments, it would have given us the impression, you know, there was something Hashem did to them. whereas by giving us that they stripped themselves, in other words, when we transgress a mitzvah, we're stripping ourselves of the light, not Hashem stripping us. I mean, that's what I got. And then we know that death entered in, and so Moses knew he had to move the tent, I'm sure, is the tabernacle, outside the camp, away from them, because probably the, you know, the evil inclination would try to take that over as well.
Well, you're right about the spiritual law is nothing happens to you from someone else. You are always the cause.
Right.
So if you they were the cause of receiving the ornaments because they were in unity.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they fell out of unity, and as soon as they sinned with the golden calf, they lost those ornaments. But they were the cause in both cases. And that's a spiritual law that needs to be constantly, we need to be constantly reminding ourselves about.
Okay, well, was the not being unified, was it not being unified with Hashem or with each other? Or both?
It was not being unified with each other.
Okay.
Not everybody participated in the
golden. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think it was just 3,000 people that specifically were lost due to the golden calf. But everyone else was responsible for those 3,000, and that's also something we always need to remember. We are responsible for everyone else. And the last part of the verse where it's saying it is written, and Moses took the tent, which is the tent of meeting, but within the tent of meeting was the Holy of Holies and the Ark and so forth. But he took the tent and pitched it outside the camp, far off from the camp. And it's telling us that by losing those ornaments, we were separating ourselves from the light. We were creating great distance spiritually from the light. And that's what the meaning of the pitching the tent. Because the tent was the... was the mikdash.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really literally the home of the Shekhinah. Unless there's another question, I'm going to go on to 295.
Yes, I think that's okay.
Amar Rabbi Elazar, my haifara, legabe haela, gewandiyada, Moshe de itabaru, minaihu de Israel, inun zanin, ilain amar havadai, mikan ulhal a, Ivya Isha Yete Ladaira Benaihu the Iyakum Maktisha Acha Benaihu Yista Av Miyadu Moshe Yikak et Haohel Benata Lo Michutz the Machane Harhek Min ha-machane begin de-chama Moshe de-ha-kedein Li-shlot chivya Bi-sha-ma-de-la Awa mi-kayad-mat Shina. Rabbi Elazar asks, what connection is there between the verse and the stripping of the ornaments? And he answers, because Moses knew that supernal protection was stripped from them when they took off their ornaments. It was clear that from now on the wicked serpent would reside among them. If the temple was erected there, it would be defiled immediately. Then, and Moses took the tent and pitched it outside the camp, afar off from the camp, because he saw that the wicked serpent would control them, unlike before. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, to me, it's basically saying the same.
It is. But it's also asking a different question. The question being asked is, what is the connection between moving the tent and stripping the ornaments? Specifically, it's reinforcing the idea that we are the cause of what happens to us. And I think it's saying the same thing because it needs to reinforce that constantly within us, because mm-hmm. that's against the nature of the human being to accept their responsibility. Verse 296. Vikara lo el helmo e Viki la hawa bakad mepa O helmo e Ela bakad mepa O hel sita hashta O helmo e my moed Rabbi Elazar Amar Letav Rabbi Abba Amar Levish Rabbi Elazar Amar Letav Ma Moed Iyu Yom Hedva Besichara Beitos Ba Beya Tekedusha La Shalta Beya Begimuta O Faka Karala Bishma Dalia Chaza'a Deha Yitrachek O Hel Mi Beinaihu Vela Yitpagem Vealda Vekara Lo O Hel Moed Ketiv. And he called it the tent of meeting. The Hebrew word is moed. He asks, was it not called the tent of meeting before? And he answers, before then it was called only a tent. But now it was called the tent of meeting. What is the meaning of moed? Appointment. Rabbi Elazar said, for merit and good. Rabbi Abba said, for discredit and evil. And Rabbi Elazar explains that it was for good because Moed means a festive day, which is the happiness of the moon, which is the Shekhinah. Because of the Shekhinah's added sanctity, no defects mar her on that day. And she called the Shekhinah by the name Moed to show that the tent, which alludes to the Shekhinah, had alienated herself from them at the time of the sin of the calf, and thus was not made defective. Hence it was written, and he called it the tent of meeting. Question?
Okay, does that mean the Shekinah returned to the tent of meeting?
It never left it.
Okay, because he moved it in time. Okay. But with the addition of the word meeting, that illustrates that the Shekinah was there.
Right.
Even though it was outside the tent.
It wasn't outside the tent. It was outside the
camp. Outside that's what I said, outside the camp.
I heard something else. My mistake.
Okay.
Yeah. So by moving the tent, the Shekhinah moved wherever the tent goes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the interesting aspect and what it's hinting to is the word moed, because if you look at the letters of Moed,
Mem, Halavav, Ayin, Dalet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the word, the mem means give me a second to remember. From. The word, the mem at the beginning of a word means from. So from and a witness.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's also the holidays, which is what it says in this verse. The holidays are, you have days where the holiday is full and days where it's partial. And where it's partial, it's also called moed. The same spelling. It's chol ha-moed. And that whole understanding, what happens with the holidays where it's a partial, is the Sefirot do not unify completely. They just they move up half a, as a metaphor, they move up half a Sefirah. So they move up only. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Is that the intermediate days of a holiday?
Yes.
Okay.
So on a given holiday, you have the movement of the Malchut moves up to Zerantin. But on the intermediate days, Malchut only moves partially up to Zerantin. As an example, it might move up the top half from Tiferet up, might move up to Zerantin, whereas the lower half still remains outside and vulnerable. And it's using the same time, and it's saying it's an appointment time. It's saying Moed is a state of time. But it's a tent of, and it's the translation, tent of meeting really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The phrase is Ol Moed. Ol means tent, and Moed is an appointed tent. And this verse is coming to try and explain to us what is the real meaning of the word Moed. And it gets lost in this translation.
Well, especially with the strong words discredit and evil.
Right. But see, that's Rabbi Abba's perception.
Oh, because it's capital letters. I remember that now. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not saying capital letters. It's Rabbi Elazar said, it's asking the question, what is the meaning of Moed? And Rabbi Elazar says it's because it's for merit and good, is whatever the meaning is, it's because of goodness. And Rabbi Abba is saying, for discredit and evil.
Right, and in my version, discredit is in capital letters.
Okay, it didn't come through that way in what I'm looking at.
Okay.
I'm looking at the computer.
Evil is not in caps, but just the word discredit.
Okay. But it's really... Here is going to really get up, you know, make some interesting aspects. What Sefirah, you know, there are 10 students of Rabbi Shimon, including Rabbi Shimon. So, you know, Rabbi Shimon we tend to think of as Keter, sometimes as Chachma. And Rabbi Elazar we tend to think of as Chachma. Rabbi Abba as Bina. Or the other way of looking at it is Rabbi Elazar is Bina, and Rabbi Abba being the father is Chachma. Because Rabbi Abba is the one who physically wrote the teachings of the Zohar. Now here you have these two. One is Chachma, one is Bina, and they are discussing the intermediate days, were the days where the Sephirot don't fully unify. They're partially unified. And you can see, on one hand, you know, one is saying it's good, meaning it's unified, and one is saying it's not, meaning it's on a lower level. It hasn't unified. So you can see a lot of information there. If you just apply the thinking and ask the questions, what do each of the teachers, when you see a teaching, a spiritual law, which student is expressing it has meaning? But unfortunately, it's not always clear which Sephirah they represent.
Well, probably relative to the verse.
Yes, it's always relative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always find Zeron Pin is the biggest challenge to know.
You know,
because sometimes Zeron Pin is Hashem, sometimes Zeron Pin is the six Sephirot, sometimes they're on ten, is Abraham, you know. But it causes you to think, you know.
Yeah, it causes you to think. You need to think, absolutely. So, we'll meet again tomorrow.
Okay.
You have a good evening, and tonight's class is on the Zohar, so I hope you'll join us at the 7 o'clock West Coast time class.
Okay, I'll try. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.